eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we're now joined by the winning driver, and that is Joey Logano.
You know, I probably wouldn't have gone straight to the bump and run if it wasn't for how he got the lead.
Green flag goes back in the air. Joey Logano from the outside lane tries to grab the lead away from William Byron.
Logano around the outside. Byron on the bottom. He hangs right with him to the back stretch.
Now, Burry is the best. Clear. Keep him close. Be there at the end. Know what you gotta do now.
Someone's gonna be willing to do that to you. Well, the gloves are off at that point.
No reason for him to say retaliation. That's stupid. He does this stuff all the time.
Two to go, and here comes Joey. It's down to a car link. Logano all over the back end of Willie B.
Drives in deep. He makes contact. Byron's in the outside wall. He got hit from the back bumper of Logano, and Logano goes to the lead. William Byron tried to block the bottom of the racetrack. Logano committed.
Damn it. Dry spell will end this afternoon for Joey Logano. Off four, final time. Crowd on their feet, and Joey Logano has won at Darlington.
It's a boy! That's what you get, buddy.
He goes in there 10 mile an hour faster. Stupid.
That was the way he wanted to race, so I said, let's go. I did what I had to do.
Everybody, welcome to NASCAR America Motor Mouse. Parker Kligerman, Kyle Petty. Of course, we want you guys calling in. That's what the
please,
show is all about.
Please do.
1-844-NASCAR-NBC. Parker Kligerman just off a really good run on the truck.
Great run.
Appreciate it. Thank
great
you.
Run.
Kyle Petty, doing great work.
Off a motorcycle.
Charity ride.
Great,
had a charity
motorcycle.
Ride.
Great run on a motorcycle. Had a great week on a motorcycle.
Had the charity ride.
The ride was great. Great. Great weather, great people, great fundraising opportunity for camp. So good.
Did anybody yell at each other about putting a guy on the wall on the bike like we had at Darlington?
We had a couple of incidents in parking lots, but other than that, we hashed it out, took him to the big trailer, and then went on from there.
Well, obviously, an incredible race at Darlington. I mean, I thought from start to finish the race was really good, a really compelling race, a lot of people with many opportunities to win. But at the end of the day, all the conversation has been about two drivers, William Byron, Joey Logano. So I tell you what, before we get into it, let's go relive.
Please do.
Let's go relive the last restart and then also relive the contact. We've seen both, but let's go back and look at them pretty closely before we start debating what it is that we all think the opinion should be of each other's. So I know it's going to roll. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right, here's the restart. So off of turn two, right there, Joey Logano, William Byron. You know, Joey really close to the wall. This view right here is a really good shot. Joey had to lift right there. William keeps on digging. Joey's now mad. And, you know, he feels like this cost him an opportunity to be leading the race. So this is turn two at Darlington, guys. It gets tight. Side by side at that
incredibly
corner
tight.
Is very tight.
Yeah. Especially the patch. This is the move at the end here into three. Joey does what he called a bump and run. I call it the center punch and move, go on. That's a hell of a shot to the rear bumper as it moves to a bump. You see it every time. You can just see the amount of speed he goes in with it. Look at that. Like, just that bump is, you're rolling 5-10 mile an hour more into someone with this composite body, you can get away with that. Whereas, you know, probably in the older cars, you don't have a front end on that thing for to run in the second lap.
Good point. Good point.
So
That's not a bump and run.
No.
Yeah, that's a bump and gone. You know what I mean? And it's not. And listen, so at some point in time, some of these announcers and some of these people got to sack up and call it what it is, okay? You know what I mean? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because that was not a bump and run. And I mean, we can call it whatever you want to, but that was not a bump and run, in my opinion. That's Kyle's opinion.
But I think that the thing that's interesting, you brought it up, off of turn two there. That's an incredibly tough corner in stock car racing to go through alone. Now, they added a patch to that corner before the fall race last year, which added a ton of grip. Yeah. But it also has a bump on the exit, which makes the high side really tough to run there. And what we saw earlier in that race was Ross Chastain spin out, trying to stay off the leader on the outside or racing someone on the outside through there. We saw Martin Truex Jr. spin off of turn two as well. We've seen cars do it throughout the other two races where they get super loose. I had it happen to me. That's just an incredibly tough corner. So when I look at that incident, as we call it there, between William Byron and Joe Logano that led to that bump or shot, whatever you want to call it, to me, it looks like the 24 is going for survival, right? Like that is how he was going to make it through that corner just to have a chance to race Joe Logano on the exit because of the way that corner is designed where you go into it with a ton of grip on the entry. It gets very tight to the center and on the exit. And as the car on the bottom, you're getting pinched off on the exit. So you have one of two choices. Do what Ross Chastain did, which is spin out.
Yeah.
Or you can try to lean into that leader or give yourself as much room as possible. And I bet when he exited that corner and thought that he had the lead compared to as we see here to Joe Logano, William Byron's thought was, wow, I actually nailed that. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I pulled that
Good
off.
Point.
Being on the bottom.
Yeah.
So our guys back in Sanford, Connecticut, they've done a great job of going back and finding some in-car camera shots. So they have a great shot to explain exactly what turn two looks like from a driver's perspective, okay? So look at this racetrack. I want us to stay right here. I don't know of another racetrack like this. So there is actually, I call it a hole in a wall. So if you stop right there, and you can see that right there, the wall actually juts back out into the racetrack. And we as drivers know that's where you're going to hit the wall off of turn two because you're pushing to the limit. Now, William Byron's job is to put Joey Logano 1 inch from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't, he's turning his wheel really sharp on the inside, hits the bump, spins out like Ross Chastain. Yeah. It's William Byron's job to use every inch of the racetrack. Now, think about it going down the interstate. Think about this. Multiply your speed by 3 and then move the car next to you 3 inches. That's William Byron's job. Mm-hmm. So Joey Logano's opinion is, hey, you misjudged it by 2 or 3 inches. I had to lift.
Yep.
Or I would have hit that part of the wall. Had I hit that part of the wall, my car would have been damaged. So you put me in a position to have to lift or damage the car. And now, instead of going into turn three, side by side with you for a chance to take the lead and control the race, he's lost that opportunity. So now Joey's mad because he feels like he got shoved into the wall. And so now he's going to do what he thinks is right. That's Joey's perspective. William's perspective is, hey, I was doing everything I was supposed to do as a race car driver.
Yep.
And
that's right.
You know what? They can both be right.
Yeah, they can.
That's exactly right. That's true. I think that's what, when I look at this whole thing, this is not about Joey Logano or William Byron or Denny Hamlin or Chase Elliott or we can throw in, put different drivers in this thing. It is the mentality of what racing is now. It's the mentality of where we're at.
Yeah.
William Byron had to do everything he could do. Joey Logano had to do everything that he could do. Is it right? Is it wrong? We can sit here and call it either way you want to call it. You know what I mean? I don't like it. I will say that. I don't like that type of racing. I didn't grow up with that type of racing.
Which, the first incident, the second incident?
First incident to me is all racing.
That's racing.
That's racing.
Okay.
That's right.
Yep.
Listen, if we had an ISO on that corner, if we just had an ISO camera, how many laps was this race? 400 laps? Whatever
not quite
it was. 400. If you had an ISO. If you had an ISO on that corner, okay, I'm going to bet you that 20% of the time that cars were side by side, they got into that same situation. You guys rattled off 2 or 3. Truck race, you see, anytime you try to make a pass there, somebody's got to give, somebody's got to take. And that's the way, it's just that corner. That's the nature of that corner at Darlington.
That corner. When you and I were racing, you were told
do not
go through there
ever,
side by side.
Ever.
You never went into turn one side by side. You conceded the spot.
Yeah.
Nobody concedes anything today.
So off of that point, what we now consider modern-day stock car racing, right, what we're seeing, which is changing before our eyes with the precedent of being able to just knock a guy out of the way to win a race and that be okay, right, where this happens.
It's not okay, but that's okay.
But it's been happening more often because, you know, if you look just a couple years prior, when we go to this win and you're into the playoffs sort of format, the win becomes so valuable that this is something that we see sort of filtering through all the series, right, where this idea of hit them and hope it doesn't affect me later sort of thing, right? I think in this was looked at as more of a mano a mano perspective from Joe Logano's thing, where he's felt wrong by being put in the wall and then goes up there and hits them. But does this, you know, you mentioned, now it's changed. Now people try to run side by side to that corner and try to fight for every inch. Does that change what you then can do to someone in the position that Joey was catching William Byron, where he's catching him and able to use that bumper the way he was to win the race? Because you now race side by side.
So, okay, so hit that. I'm just going to throw it out. So I have been going to races my entire life. My entire freaking life.
Literally.
Okay? And I have seen Dan Gurney race. I've seen Pearson race. I've seen the Earnharts. I've seen everybody. Okay? The racing that we see today resembles nothing that we've seen in the past. It doesn't. Okay? Everybody believes the great Dale Earnhardt myth that every race he won, he knocked people out of the way.
He did.
No, he did not. He was a hell of a race car driver, okay? He won races by setting people up. He moved people. I'm not gonna say that he didn't move people, okay? But at the same time, somehow these fans have got it in their head that he won 7 championships and 70 or 80 races just running over people, and it didn't happen that way. And this generation of drivers that have come up believe that. For some reason, they believe that. If we allow it to be, and you fans allow it to be okay to knock a leader out of the way, then when are we going to allow it to be okay to knock a 10th place guy out of the way? Mm-hmm. When are we going to allow it to be okay to knock a 15th place guy out of the way?
Hell, it kind of already happens at Martinsville.
But what I'm saying is you've got to draw the line somewhere. And when NASCAR came in with boys have at it and all this stuff, listen, the horse left the barn. Somebody's got to get their arms back around this at some point. Now, you can't be the leader and think, I'm leading, but if somebody catches me, they're not even going to try to pass me. Because, listen, I love Joey Logano, and I love William Byron, and I I'm huge fans of both. But Joey felt, and I talked to Joey felt that in the position that he felt like he was put in, that he wasn't even going to try to pass William. I just got to get to him and knock him out of the way. That's not racing, okay? That's not racing. Listen, if you want to watch that, let's tune in on Saturday and watch Roller Derby.
Can I challenge you for a second?
Challenge me all you want to.
Okay.
Challenge me all you want to.
This happens at the water cooler where you work, I hope, that we're having this same debate. So you're talking to three people that all have run the Southern 500, all raced at Darlington, and we have different opinions.
Yeah.
We do. So here's the only – I agree. You guys know how I raced. I mean, a clean racer.
Yes, you were.
But if I'm Logano and I'm battling for the lead, and I get put in a position to have to lift or damage my car, mm-hmm. I give the lead up because of that. Mm-hmm. I now no longer control the race.
True.
How is that any different than just getting knocked out of the way? Now, he didn't wreck.
Yep. He didn't wreck. That's
William Byron did not finish second. William Byron finished 13th.
Yeah.
That's the difference to me. But if you're Joey Logano, and listen, I think William Byron and Joey Logano were just racing off turn.
Yeah, I think
that's
they were
what
just
I
racing.
Think it was. But if you're Joey, you're like, wait a minute. This is my spot. I deserve to not be run into.
So let me ask you this question.
How do you defend your position if you're Joey?
So let me ask you this question. If Harrison is driving the 24, is that a move okay?
He didn't get far enough away from him to get him back.
No. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm asking you to do is take the drivers out of the equation.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's take the drivers, because this is not about Joey Logano.
This is
about the mentality that all drivers have and how they race today. This is not about these drivers. So I don't want to be a knock on Joey or on William or anything. But my point is,
answer your question. If Harrison runs a guy in the wall.
Yeah.
And puts a guy in a precarious position, and the guy gives the lead up because of that, then Harrison better get away from him.
That's right. Better get away from him.
He better get away from
him. Is it okay for that guy to run him back down and not even try to race him?
He should
just run over him.
I would have preferred to see Joey Logano try to race him.
Okay, that's my point.
I would have preferred
to
see.
That's my point. Now,
at least take one shot.
Now let's put Harrison in the 22 car. Harrison gets run in the wall. He chases the guy down. Would you rather see Harrison catch the 24 and attempt to pass him, or just run over him when
he
got
there? I'd rather see him attempt to pass him.
There's the answers to the question.
But you are coming to the white flag.
I understand that completely.
But you're bringing up like racing respect and etiquette, which has
there
sort
is
of
none.
Thrown out the window.
There is none.
It doesn't
exist. I wrote it down.
You can't be, you know, you can't want racing respect and that sort of thing if everyone else isn't doing it, right? And we've opened up
the
Pandora's
thing,
box in this.
The one thing, and I'm going to say this, and my dad preached this to me from the very beginning. Okay?
If the king's talking, we're listening.
No. From the very beginning. Retaliation has no place on a racetrack. Okay? You just don't retaliate at that point. See him in the garage area. Go talk to him. Don't retaliate. You are in a 36, 37, whatever these things weigh now, stock car. Don't retaliate from a safety standpoint. Okay, so retaliation. But I'm going to say this. I wrote this down. It's a different sport because sportsmanship, ethics, a moral code, what is right and what is wrong, it's a blurred line right now.
It's a blurred line.
And respect. There is no respect. Okay? So my point is, when somebody apologizes, apologies mean nothing. Don't apologize to me, okay? Because you don't respect me.
Yep.
Okay? You don't have that sport. You don't have that moral code. Don't apologize to me. Don't call me. Just wreck me and going home.
But Joey didn't apologize.
No. But I'm just saying.
And William.
Neither one of them are going to apologize.
So the question is, let's say William wins the race.
And they're better.
Does William go and say, hey, man, I'm sorry I ran you in the wall?
No.
Should he have done that?
No.
He shouldn't have apologized for running Joey in the wall.
Okay.
Should. I'm not saying did. Yeah. Should he apologize for running Joey in the wall?
No, because I'm going to say this. Okay, and I'm fed up to my dark brown eyeballs with this, okay? All right? I never came in on Monday morning and saw my dad sitting on the phone. I got to call Pearson and tell him I was really sorry. I got into his door, put a tire on my... I got to call Cale. You think Earnhardt ever picked up the phone and called anybody? You think guys ever really... You know, you put your arm around him at the racetrack and you say, hey, man, hard racing, that's the way it is. Don't call, don't tweet, don't text.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing. Back then, they never acknowledged it. They never acknowledged it, okay? It's back to what you said before. You were a clean race car driver, but you raced everybody the way they raced you. If they made it hard to pass, by God, when they came up on you, you made it hard for them to pass you. That was the way you did it. But if we have a game and we have a sport where it's not, I'm not going to make it hard on you. I'm just going to run over you.
Then
we've moved the line. We've moved the line. And if we've moved the line for this generation, what does the sport look like in 10 or 12 years?
Watch the trucks. I can tell you. It's worse than that.
Yeah, that's a great example because the younger generation sees this and thinks it's right.
It's hit and hope they don't come back. And that's the mentality. But think about this just real quick. Talking about modern stock car racing, you've got composite bodies on these cars. You have a win-you're-in sort of format that's been built into this. You have all these incentives to basically do and race exactly what we're seeing in that sense. Where
that's
it is and especially the aero situation, if Joey doesn't make that move and gets caught in the aero wake of the 24,
does he just sit there and ride around and finish second?
What does he tell his team? His team says to him, hey man, when you got his bumper, why didn't you make a move on him? That's when he has no answer, and so he has to take that chance.
And that was Joey's point was, if I have to check up with this dirty air, I'll never get another run in. And I understand that completely also.
From a guy that thought he could wait another corner to have a win in the Southern 500, and it didn't work out, if you don't do it then.
Okay,
all right,
I'm going to say one more thing. I am sick and tired of hearing this. They did what they had to do, okay? Mm. Because he doesn't do what he has to do. He does what he wants to do.
That's right.
These drivers do what they want to do, not what they had to do.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. It is a choice. So I'm sick and tired of hearing, oh, man, he did what he had to do to win this thing. No, he did what he wanted to do to win this
100%.
Thing.
100%. Okay? He wants to win.
That's sorry. Hey, listen, we've had a great conversation.
This old man's getting down. We're still friends.
This is how this works.
That's right.
So we're going to leave you and come back with more of this, but to add to the program, we're going to bring a cool, calm-headed guy, Justin Allgaier, is going to join us when we come back.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride. Every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I feel for Justin. Is he ever going to get it turned around?
For my own, you know, sake, I hope he doesn't, because when he does, he's really fast.
Green, white, checker at Darlington. You've got A.J. Allmendinger, bottom to his outside, Justin Allgaier.
Green flag is in the air. The drag race is on. Allgaier and Allmendinger on the front row.
Allgaier drives around him to the lead.
Clear, clear, clear.
It's over at Darlington. Checkered flag in the air, and Justin Allgaier has broken the drought.
Heck yeah, boys. What a drought, but to come back here and win this place, man, it feels good to get back to victory lane.
All right, Justin Allgaier joining us. Big win. I know you love Darlington. I know you love getting the win there. Tell us about that day and how special it was.
Well, you know, number one, throwback weekend, right? I mean, it's so special for all of us to be able to kind of honor our hero sport. And to Darlington, I mean, you guys all know the racetrack and how special that place is, how important that place is to our history of our sport. And so to be able to go back to Darlington and win – throwback weekend 2 years in a row with arguably two of the best paint schemes of the year for both of those, it just means a lot. Noah finished second, Sam fifth. Obviously Josh up there battling us for the win one of those late cautions. I mean, it's just a true testament of where our team's at right now. And so I'm super pumped on it. I'm glad I was the one that got to victory lane this week. I feel like we've been close the last two and haven't pulled the deal off. So I'm glad that this week worked out for us.
Well, Justin, we've been having this spirited debate about the cup incident. We don't want to overshadow your win, but I'd love to hear your take. You've been the young guy in the sport. Now in my opinion, you're the guy that people look up to in the Xfinity Series, trying to be the role model. And I want to hear what you have to say about the last lap at Darlington in the cup race.
You know, it's a tough situation, right? As a race car driver, not knowing all of the pieces of the puzzle, if you feel wronged, as Joey obviously felt like he was wronged at a certain point, it's hard to not, right? It's hard to not race anybody differently. Whether you were or you weren't, when you go back and look at it, you know, post-race, there's a lot of times that I've wanted to retaliate against somebody. I've gone back 24 hours later, watched the video, and I'm like, man, I'm glad that I didn't. And Jeff, I think, you know, I heard Kyle say something to you about being a clean racer, the way you get paced, right? And I think that, you know, when I was growing up, I worked on my own racing cars, and I had to put money into my own racing cars, and I you race people maybe a little bit differently. But I really truly believe that people are expected to perform at every moment, the win scenario. This is a good and bad to our sport right now. Fireworks, but sometimes not always the best plan for fireworks. But, you know, you guys mentioned it, that it, you know, it's running locally. They're going to see this and they're going to change the race. And I think that the exact opposite. I think these kids are already racing this way. They're being taught, hey, don't worry about anybody else. Go out there and you race for you, and you go win the race. Win, you're up for everything. You're going to get them. And if that's it, everybody else. And I think that our day and time kind of created that monster. Instead of trickling down, it's honestly trickled up. It's not the way I race and not necessarily the way I want to race, but on the other side of what we're kind of up against. And it's hard to look your team in the face and say, I keep it my effort or all of my effort. I could have done something different when the next guy down the road might do what Joey or might do what William or whatever. So I don't think either one of them were right, but that doesn't fix their feelings and it doesn't fix the situation that they're in. And I think you're going to see a lot more of it before we get playoffs, especially on the cup side. I mean, here, my takeaway, a year ago, the radiator and hood and front fender knocked off the 22 car, right? I'm not even sure if it had any damage on the 22 car at the end of it. So we're kind of allowing this to happen and making it even more accessible, and I think it's only going to get worse.
Justin, it's a really good point. You talk about, you know, what you've had, the decisions you've had to make now, what, having this racing changed as it has the last couple years. Where have you had to change? Is it in the position of where you're in a position to win and you feel like, if I don't take the chance to knock this guy out of the way, even though maybe he hasn't done anything wrong, but I have that opportunity to get to their bumper, I have to take it? Or is it in the idea of, hey, someone wronged me, I now need to wrong them, you know, get even or even come back 10 times harder? Like, how has it changed for you over the last couple of years when you and I were running ARCA coming up through the ranks and now where you are is just now guard currently?
Well, two things. Number one is I probably haven't taken those chances. I think for me, you know, I've had a fair share of opportunities to run over somebody that had done no wrong to me. And I'm not sure that, I've taken those chances. The other part of it is, I'm going to be honest with you, me retaliating has not worked out so well for me. You know, Ross and I had an issue at Watkins Glen a couple years ago. I didn't really have any issues with Ross afterwards. I mean, we don't necessarily agree to disagree that who was in the wrong, but his car owner, Johnny Davis, and I had a pretty spirited conversation, and truth be told, I wasn't sure how it was going to end. So in that situation, I'm not sure that retaliation worked out either. That being said, I don't know the right answer, right? And I don't know that I chose the right opportunities or paths, you know, one way or the other. I will say that I've probably made more mistakes in the last 5 years trying to be more aggressive and put myself in a better position, and it's ultimately ended up crashing myself or other people unintentionally because I've been overly aggressive trying to, you know, not have to run over somebody. So I don't know that that's any better either, right? I've crashed people because I put myself in a bad position just trying to be more aggressive. And I think that in our situation today, you know, I look at when I was racing ARCA and when we were teammates at Penske, when I was first starting out in the, you know, the Nationwide Series then, or the Xfinity Series, I was really good on the long runs, right? I really focused on how do I make myself better the longer the race is. And I took a lot of pride in that, right? I may not have been the fastest car, I may not have qualified on the pole, but I felt like when the race came to an end, we were going to be right there and battling for it. And today, that's not the proper way. I mean, with stages and the way that the races play out, very few green flag pit stops. You know, it definitely benefits that youth and just go for broke and, you know, not worry about anybody else on the racetrack. That being said, also too, and I think all of you three can agree with me on this, I've wrecked probably one too many times in my career to want to do it again. So I'm not sure that I want to have the opportunity of somebody else coming to wreck me, because I may take a shot like Joey did, and, you know, William didn't really hit the wall that hard. But if he retaliates somewhere and I hit the wall hard, I'm too old for that. I don't want to hit the wall anymore. I'll be honest with you. Safer barriers, all the safety equipment we got. I still like waking up on Sunday or on Monday mornings and, you know, stretch out and feeling good about it. You know what I mean?
That's a good answer. Listen, let's move to something else. So you won at Darlington again on Throwback Weekend, like you said. What's the rest of the season look like for you, and who do you think championship-wise is going to be there? You seem to be there every year. But, I mean, as you look at it, who are the strong teams? Who are the guys you're racing for a championship?
It's deep right now. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, we've got four cars at Junior Motorsports that have been truly incredible. And I don't know how our organization has done what we've done. I really am proud of our team. You know, the Hendrick Engine Shop, you know, Chevrolet, everybody's been working overtime trying to figure out how to be faster week in and week out, right? And we've shown it as our organization has shown it. We've been right up there every week. And so I think our four cars obviously are really, really strong. The Gibbs cars, the 54, the 19, they've been ultra, ultra strong. I mean, obviously the 18 is good, but they've had, you know, a multitude of drivers. You know, I look at AJ. I mean, AJ put himself in a great position at the end of the race at Darlington. Super impressed that he was able to hold on the old tires like he was at the end of the race. I really thought that the group of us that had all put tires on, we'd blow right by him and he would be a sitting duck. And that really wasn't the case. So, you know, I don't know. There's a ton of drivers and teams this year that have really stepped up and kind of risen to the occasion. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's been a lot of fun this year. We've had a lot of good battles on the racetrack and really race each other hard, but for the most part clean. And especially on the 7 team, I feel like we've not ruffled too many feathers this year, which is a good thing. But you know, I don't know. I think everybody really needs to get into these summer months when the temperature comes up and it gets really hot and it gets really slick. I think you're going to start separating. I'm not going to say the men from the boys because that's the wrong terminology, but I think you're going to start separating some teams out. I think you're going to have some teams that are going to excel and they're going to put themselves in better position for when the playoffs start. And when the playoffs start, you know, for us last year, we kind of stumbled out of the box for the playoffs, and I'm disappointed in kind of where we were at. And so when we come to this year, I got a whole different game plan. I got a whole new mentality, and I'm excited. I'm hopeful that we make the right decisions and we go into the playoffs with the speed we got right now. We'll be in good shape.
Well, Justin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks,
congratulations.
Man.
Winning at Darlington is always special.
Huge.
Not only did you win at Darlington, you let 76 last and had to start in the back. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
Incredible day. Thank you again for joining us and giving us your opinion.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it for having me on as always. I'm enjoying the spirited conversation though. Whether you're on Joey's side or you're on William's side, I think it's something right now that's super important for our sport. And there's not a bad outcome of this. I really don't think, because I think that we're all going to learn a lot about kind of where we stand and I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm probably, I obviously have a relationship with Hendrick Motorsports on the engine side of things. So I'm disappointed for William, but I don't care where you stand. It's great for debate, and I love it. So thank you guys for carrying that debate on.
Thanks, man.
Right, buddy. Thank you. So, you know, one thing I'll say about but he does an incredible job. And if you watch him, if you just watch him during the race, that guy is exceptionally aggressive.
Yes, he is.
He gets after it on
restarts.
Oh,
especially.
My goodness.
Yeah,
you see him behind, you better be going.
Yeah.
You better be ready.
And he's clean. He finds a way.
Does.
He works really hard to be clean. He does a great job. So, listen, we're going to continue this debate. I can promise you that. But we got some people on the line that have been trying to call in. We've been talking too much
bring
for
them
to get in. And then we got to get a chance to hear from the drivers when we come back. So,
do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Green and white, checkered flag, waving here at the start-finish line for Parker Kligerman, who will score his first ever stage win.
Had nowhere to go, just got collected up in something not of our doing, but it was nice to be running top five. Just felt like we were trying to hone in on the setup, the short run versus the long run, and where we wanted to be good.
Too much throttle and not enough grip. I knew the bump was there, and I just trusted it too much.
Obviously, a pretty miserable day for our ally Camaro. Greg and the guys were working hard on it, and then something broke. It just went straight, and we hit the wall, and then whatever is on fire now. So I guess we put it out of its misery, but bummed for the guys. It was a pretty miserable day.
Just trying to figure out what I did to piss off the racing gods. Another great car, another good finish that was going to be there, and another disappointing result. So,
man, we're almost through the wreck, and I see somebody's tits from behind. Everybody checking up. Wow, what a day. Did not need that at all.
Yeah, just kind of survived, really. It wasn't anything spectacular by any means, but it was just kind of a matter of how you restarted and then hope your pit stops really fast. And then hope you did a good job on the next restart.
Definitely a good run for our organization. It's something we need. I mean, we've been clicking off like top 15s and right been around that area, but show we kind of can do it here and showcase my talent. So I'm super thankful.
William did a really good job on the restart to get by Joey. There was a little bit of contact there, so I don't know if that's why Joey got back to William.
It's unfortunate to see a win be taken away from you on the last lap like that. Logano's aggressive and Logano had a shot at him to do it clean and chose to do it a different way. So we don't really see that at a Darlington. So I think that's the only thing that makes this one stand out.
Pretty powerful from Jeff Gordon right there. You don't usually see that. But listen, I am so glad we had Justin Haley. At least we had one positive comment out of all those drivers. Did you hear anything positive from any of them?
That's a great point.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations on your stage win. Starting it right there. That was huge.
It felt like a participation trophy.
Yeah. No, that's not a participant. Listen, dude, you kicked. So what did you hear there? Did you hear anything any different than what we had discussed? I mean, and you said it. You heard Ross Chastain. Too much power, too much wheel.
Just too much. The car doesn't have that ability to lean on it like we saw. That was the choice every driver had to make that was on the bottom of all three series going to turn two side by side with their car. You had a choice. Pinch it off and try to hold onto it and slide it and hope you don't spin out, or do what William Byron did, which is sort of lean on that outside driver and put them in a position where they have to sort of decide between hitting the wall and lifting.
Yeah, you know what I heard? I heard a post-Darlington group of drivers.
Heck yeah.
You know, when this track, and it gets hot, slick, hard to drive, a lot of competition, got to push on a racetrack that you don't want to push on.
Yep.
If you don't push, you can't go fast. If you don't go fast, they pass you. So it's Darlington. That's been the big problem with Darlington since the first time they built it. If you run hard, you're going to wreck. If you don't run hard, you're going to get fast. There you have it.
Awesome, Jeff, because I don't think that's the one thing we maybe even dipped into. We said at the beginning it was a compelling race. That was an awesome race, but even like all three series had a good race this past weekend. Yes. Darlington's just classic. It's worn out, and this car put on an awesome show throughout the whole race. Yeah, we've been talking about the end, but you saw comers and goers, tires wear it, you know, throughout the race, the rubber laying down, different lanes available, the ability to run the high lane, the bottom lane. They were shifting at 3 and 4 in Darlington. We haven't even talked about that.
It's crazy.
I just think what a cool weekend for NASCAR in that sense of classic Darlington being as awesome as it was.
I had another question for you guys about only 23 cars finishing on at this race since 94, 95 on a non-super speedway. But Buddy's been on hold since 2 weeks ago. Let's go to Buddy. Let's go to the phones and talk to Buddy. You there?
Oh, y'all want to hear from me?
Yeah, but you better hurry, or we're gonna cut you off.
This is Buddy Parrott.
Oh, no way!
I'll tell you that. Hey, the best comment I've heard all day, or after the race, was Jeff Gordon saying, "You know, it's tough to have a race taken from you like that." And I thought back. You know, I think we were on the receiving end of that, wasn't we, Burton?
He's calling in reinforcements. Burton's calling in reinforcements.
Buddy Parrott is one of the all-time great crew chiefs in the sport. Crew chief, I mean, some of the best drivers, and me, which wasn't one of the best drivers. And I think Buddy's talking about the time in 24 and I had a little run-in at Darlington, and it didn't work out for us. So, you know, we see things from our own eyes.
Yeah.
And Buddy's one of my heroes.
I'm for sure. But Buddy was a crew chief for my dad when he won his 200th race.
Oh, yeah.
So there you have it. So he's been. So what do you think? What do you think about that move, Buddy? You watched it. What do you think about the end of the race?
Well,
you've been around forever.
You know, the good thing is that it was a great race. And like somebody said, there were three races down there, and I watched all of them. I thought the trucks did a great job, and the Xfinity cars did a great job. But the main thing was, you know, if Byron, I watched the deal, and if Byron looked to me like he was trying to drive very, very defensively, and knowing that, the driver knowing that behind him, he knew he had to do something different, because you know what? The old deal is right now, if you block somebody, Kyle, if you blocked your daddy or if you blocked anybody, you're going to be moved, you know? And so I think that's probably what was going through Logano's mind. You know, he wasn't going to be able to get side by side because he's going to block him. And he went low. He went low down there. And that's what lost his momentum. So I think Byron lost the race. And I hate in a way to see that thing end that way. And because I've been on the receiving end of that. And so that's all I'm going to say today.
Listen, all I'm going to say is you work for the greatest blocker of all time, Darryl Waltrip. So I'll throw that out there for you.
Hey, I refuse to say a thing about Darryl Waltrip, okay?
All right, man. Thank you very much for calling, buddy. We appreciate it, man. Let's go to our next caller. Caleb. Caleb, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, bud. What you got?
So I guess after Martinsville, Logano tried to move Byron there and said he wished he would have hit him harder, and he got his chance, made the most of it. But after the race, he said he feels like they're even. But do you think, I guess, Williams feeling the same way? I guess my question is, do they have two different scores, like Logano feels they're even and Byron feels like he owes him one, or do you think William would just let it go and move on?
No way he's letting it go. No way. Good question. We haven't really thought about that side. There's no way. You know, at this point, you've been raced. It's the golden rule. Race others how you want to be raced. Logano has shown him that's how he will race. Absolutely, he's going to be in a position, especially how angry. I think he'll look back at what happened there and try to dissect maybe some things he could have done differently, maybe in 3 and 4, knowing the 22 is maybe in that position of not being happy with him. But at the end of the day, that's a car that was in a position to win a race that did it. That's, you know, trying to be one of the best cars this year in Cup at the highest level. I think absolutely, you know, put in position. It's always the when and where is the funny part, but I don't know. I think you have to go lean on the side, especially if his comments that he's not happy about this and carry on.
So William has a choice to make, and Joey has a choice to make. Mm-hmm. How do they handle this together?
Yeah.
And knowing Joey, and because he made the mistake in this early part of his career, he didn't reach out and try to have a conversation, and it cost him. And I have a feeling Joey will be reaching out because Joey learned the hard way that it's not wrong, even if you agree to disagree, it's not wrong to show a guy some respect. So they both have a choice to make. And we talked about it earlier. You don't have to do anything. You have a choice to make, and William's got to make a decision. Do I want to just take a stance and no matter what, that's how it's going to be, or do I want to take a step back and have a reasoned approach to it and then deal with it like that? I have a feeling that's what William would do because I think that's his personality. If he needs a caution, if he needs a position and Joey's there, he feels like Joey gave him a permission slip. Yeah. William's got that choice to make.
Yeah, I agree with you, but to me, you know, just being racing right now under these circumstances, many drivers being in this position, I feel like even if I reach out to drivers, which I have recently, I know in the back of my mind when I come across that there is the opportunity now for them to use that against me. And I think when you look at the way the precedent that's being set in these times of racing, you have to have that in the back of your mind because it's not over until it's over, right? And I just think you can't be naive to say, hey, I called and said sorry, it's all good. It just doesn't happen right now because of the because this is so open, it's so wide open every time that we've seen this in just the years past, and knowing simply that if I, feel wronged by someone, that they have that ability to come back at me at some point.
Yeah.
If I've wronged them.
All right. Let's take another caller here. Josh, what do you have to say on this?
Yeah, Kyle. Good afternoon and good evening, gentlemen. I say that it's been mused amongst people that Joey Logano's almost like Dale Earnhardt or Kyle Busch, but unlike them, he seems to carry himself as the innocent baby face who does nothing wrong. Kyle, I know you've raced Dale Earnhardt in his day. Jeff, you have as well. And all of us have seen Logano go through the ranks pretty quickly. Hell, even Mark Martin even gave him the moniker sliced bread. Now, my question is, based on how Logano raced Byron yesterday, or if you refer back to Kansas Speedway when he raced Matt Kenseth back in 2015 during the closing laps, is it possible he's oblivious to being a heel in the sport, or does he just suffer from the condition, as Jimmy Spencer would put it, veganism? Or maybe to put it another way, how does he compare to Dale Earnhardt or Kyle Busch?
I think that Joey Logano cares about Joey Logano.
Yeah.
And I think that Joey thinks that he doesn't race dirty.
Yeah.
He does what he has to do, what this system requires him to do. And he's willing to pay the consequences for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point. He didn't come here to win a popularity contest.
Nope.
He came to win races. And his threshold is different than other drivers. His threshold is different than mine. And his threshold is different than Earnhardt's or than Kyle Busch's. It's his threshold. We each have that. We each stand in front of a mirror in the morning, and you look in that mirror, and you can live with certain things, and you can live with certain things, and you can live with certain things, and some people can, some people can't. And that's where Joey's at. And because of that, he's won 29 or 30 cup races and a championship, and he's just now 30 or 31 years old, and he's got a bright future, and you can't argue any of that. And Roger Penske believes in him, the team believes in him, and because of things like he did yesterday, those guys will go to battle for him week in and week out, and that's part of this sport. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just telling you that's the nature of the sport right now. All right, so.
Well said.
And we're going to break right now. I just feel like I'm on a soapbox preaching here. When we come back, we're going to have 450 Supercross champion Eli Tomac, and we're going to talk two-wheel racing, not four-wheel, not eight-wheel.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Has returned to the Rockies with a chance of clinching his second Monster Energy AMA Supercross 450 title.
Biggest thing, man, is he's just got to go out there, ride how he knows how to ride, and win his second AMA Monster Energy Supercross Championship.
He's got all the fans on their feet. We're off and racing 450 main. On a show, and the fans are responding. 14th place or better, and the title is his.
Yeah, he's championship mode. He's going to collect that number one plate.
In 2022, the book of Eli is complete. He is the Monster Energy AMA Supercross champion.
Kyle promised it. We have two wheels here. Joining us right now is Eli Tomac, who got that second 450 Supercross championship. Congratulations, Eli. And I have to ask, back in 2020, when you won, it was no crowd in Salt Lake. This year, in Denver, home crowd, packed house, you win the championship. What was that atmosphere like?
Oh, it was fantastic. Like you said, the no crowd thing in Salt Lake, that was unfortunate. That was obviously during the start of the COVID. And then this year, the whole series felt back to life. We had everyone back in the stands. We were going to our normal events. And Denver, to be honest, was our best crowd of the year. I don't know what it is with Denver. They get engaged in the racing. I mean, they would follow us around the track the whole time. You could hear them, you know, roaring. Even in the heat race, they were following me around the track, you know, with the roar. So, gosh, I had just such a good time there.
Well, Eli, congratulations. What a huge accomplishment. But, man, you're old, 29 years old. I mean, in your world, that is – how have you been able to keep physically fit and take it to those young guys? Because 29, man, that is getting it done. You're racing on the – it's a lot of guys younger than you are.
I guess so. I don't know. It's I feel like it's changing our wave and our group of guys. We're all kind of that same age, and – I guess we're all just enjoying racing our bikes, and we're still competitive, and we're still, you know, just competitive, period. And I think until we get dethroned, we're going to keep going.
So here's my – and congratulations. But here's my question is, so after you clinch the title, you tell everybody that you hurt your knee back in Atlanta. Why did you wait until after? Why did you keep that a secret?
Yeah, in the motorcycle world, I feel like it's just enough of a contact sport to where you don't want to give your competitor any advantage or any know of what's going on, you know, especially physically, and any mental advantage also. So, I mean, all it takes in our sport is for someone to take it a little bit high in that next corner, right? And then you say, I mean, you might dab your foot and fall over. And for me, it was the knee. So, you know, that's a pretty vulnerable, you know, thing to hurt. And just because in almost every turn you're putting your foot out, right? So that's why I kept throwing under the wraps.
Fascinating. It's really smart. Yeah. And actually, the there's a guy that may respect that from the four-wheel world that you always kind of tribute to when you've had the most wins at Daytona. Always do a little tribute to Dale Earnhardt Sr. Why do you do that? Where did that come from?
Yeah. Well, for me, you know, I run the big number three. So that's really it, running the number three. And Daytona, yeah, it was a fantastic race again. Me and Cooper went down to the wire this year. I mean, it was a battle. I think we was like two to go is when we were together, and then I made the pass on him. So six wins, yeah. It was very cool.
Yeah, so Eli, I mean, change is hard. This year you went with a brand new team. I know there had to be some questions about that, but what about that change has worked so well?
For me, it was freedom of the motorcycle and just taking the risk on, hey, do I think I can get something better with what they're offering as a package and as a whole? You know, can I perform better? And that was it, period. You know, as a racer, I feel like you have this certain time frame. You guys know about that. And we were just talking about age, but I felt like I should take the risk, and we did, and it paid off. So there's, you know, you have to look at all areas, but I felt like they, you know, Star Racing Yamaha had that something that I was wanting.
Well, this weekend at Darlington, we had a little incident between Joey Logano and William Byron, and I know you guys had a similar incident against Justin yeah. Barcia and Malcolm Stewart. What's your take on that?
That was an aggressive move. It's you know, as you saw, it was too far, you know, as the point of being too aggressive. I mean, he literally blew Malcolm off his motorcycle. I mean, our racing, yeah, you do expect bumping and rubbing and racing, but blowing the guy off the bike is obviously he was too late to make that pass attempt. And so that was, I mean, as you guys could hear on the TV, there was a lot of booze in the stadium, and that was that's the way I saw it. He was too far behind to make that pass.
Well, it's kind of similar to what we saw.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
That's motorsports. Yeah. Love to see just the reaction, right?
Yeah.
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 Oh,
but,
yeah.
But, well, congratulations.
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, congratulations again on the championship. Amazing. Good luck in the motocross season. Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me on, guys. We'll see you.
See you, bud. All right, continuing two wheels, Kyle. You went on your own two-wheel adventure, the Kyle Petrucci
ride. None of that stuff.
Did you do some off-roading somewhere like that?
I would do it, but
Where did you head? Where did you head on the
trade
ride?
We went from Phoenix to, on the Kyle Petrucci ride, we went from Phoenix to Lake Havasu to Flagstaff to the Grand Canyon up to Bryce Canyon, then over to Monument Valley, back down to Sedona, and then back into Phoenix. 7 days, I guess? 7 days. Yeah, okay, fun ride.
So If that ride helped so many people.
Yes.
And it's such a great thing, and so many people have gotten behind it, and it's gone on for a long time. And if you're looking for something to help, that is an incredible charity that helps a lot of people. And it's so cool to see how many people have supported it.
It's
and
crazy.
And you keep seeing the same people come back year after year after year.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Herschel McGriff. Okay, so we started the ride with one Hall of Famer, Richard Petty, and we ended with two Hall of Famers with Herschel McGriff. He's 94 years old.
Wow.
94 years old,
he
went on the ride with him. My dad's 84 years old. So it's all the money goes to send kids to camp at Victory Junction. We've sent almost 9,000 kids to camp. Camp has touched almost 90,000 kids in the time that we opened, and everybody knows we opened it after Adam's accident. So the ride's pretty special to me. I mean, 26 years, I guess it's pretty special to me. I'm still doing it after all this time.
I've always wanted to go on that.
You need to come, man.
Well, I'm lacking two things right now.
Listen.
A motorcycle license and a motorcycle.
Listen, when you ride in the middle of the pack, they don't know whether you have a license or not. So we can take care of that one.
I'll furnish
a motorcycle, man.
Training wheels? You got training wheels?
Yeah, you got
those? We got sidecars. We got trikes. We got it all, dude. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, baby.
So I think I could do that. A little training wheels, a little in the center pack thing. Listen, they'll never even know.
What if we get you a motorcycle with a sidecar on each side?
Will you be my passenger?
No. There's no way.
He's not riding.
Listen, let's be honest. If Rick Allen can do it, anybody can do it. I'm sorry, man. Yeah, you guys are welcome anytime, but thank you for bringing it up. Because it does change these kids' lives. And that's what the motorcycle ride is all about.
And guys, this week in motorsports, just looking at the schedule, you got Rick Mears on the Dale Jr. Download. We got the IMSA Series at Mid-Ohio later this weekend, NTT IndyCar Series at Indianapolis, and of course, MotoGP in France on Sunday. A packed week of motorsports coming up. We also are going to be back on Wednesday here on Motor Mouth once again, so please join us. Call in, obviously using the call-in. We'll be here answering, and I swear Kyle will be nice.
Kyle's never going to be nice.
No, so
never. Sorry.
Never. I'll be never. Nice, so. Thanks for watching.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.